Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The 368th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54-53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! Right away to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court, Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to hit. Long outside shot. Short, rebounded. May, it's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72, and how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national daggum champion.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Hanging out with you on a Wednesday night on the eve of the first round of the 2024 NCAA tournament, where Carolina will face Wagner tomorrow afternoon, 2:45 p.m. That game will be available on CBS, but it's in the Queen City. So if you're in the area, make your way into town and be there to cheer on your Tar Heels looking to advance into Saturday's second round matchup. Josh and Anthony, we're here with you guys tonight to preview that first round matchup against the Seahawks in the 2024 NCAA tournament. We'll treat this preview like we did every preview in the regular season, tell you everything you need to know about the opponent, look at this game from the Carolina perspective before we, of course, give our keys to the game and pick the game. But we start every edition of the pod, as we always do, the pod thought of the day. And if you've been with us in the last couple of years, the pod thought's always been what this program is about in the tournament. And it's the core foundation in this program's principles. And that means the thought is, quote, play hard, play smart, and play together. And when Carolina has done that this year, and they've done that historically, a lot of good has come out of it. It's led to a lot of winning. And, of course, there's nothing better than winning, and it's what we're hoping and it's what we expect to see from this team this weekend in Charlotte. And, you know, coming off of the loss to State in the ACC tournament, I thought the thing that I was the most disappointed in was Carolina's effort. I thought Carolina just failed to meet the moment. They failed to compete the way they've done for the majority of this season. Mm-hmm. And they got outworked. They got out-hustled. They got out-toughed by an NC State team that, of course, we know was playing for their NCAA tournament lives. But I do think of all the messages that Hubert Davis could give to that locker room to inspire them and get them ready to go on a deep NCAA tournament run, the best message is just to simply play hard, play smart, and play together.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the game for this team this year, more than any of the teams really that we've seen in the past, more than the team back in 2022 even, because – When it comes to especially the first part of that, I think, to be honest, all three elements are incredibly important to this. But the first part is everything when it comes to defending at a high level. You have to play hard or else it's not really going to matter. And, I mean, look, do I think that Carolina didn't play hard the other night? I wouldn't say that. But I think that it got to a point where they sort of realized that, okay, this game isn't going the way that we thought it was going to go. Maybe in their minds they said, look, that's okay. Our ultimate goal is to win a national championship. But hopefully that's the mindset that they're taking going into this event, is that now this is the NCAA tournament. We're here for one thing and one thing only. That's to win a title. Yeah, making the Final Four would be cool. Making a deep run, would still be probably deemed successful depending on how it looks. But ultimately, I think that this group needs to have the mindset that if we put our effort, our best effort into every single game, there are a few teams in the country that can actually beat us. So, I mean, I think that if they do that, and it starts, in this game, because look, man, I mean, you could say whatever you want about the 1-16 matchup, and now it's only happened two times. Yeah, it's only happened two times, but those two times have come within the span of 5 years. So you need to – I mean, even these 1-16 matchups now, you have to bring it every single time out, because last year, the first time around, UMBC was a team that was a 16 seed outright. They played Virginia. They knew that going into or when they came out of Selection Sunday. Last year, FDU had to win in Dayton just to advance, and then went on to beat Purdue. So you can't say, well, teams will be tired when they come out of Dayton, because FDU proved that last year. So it starts in this game, and we've said it. There are some tough tests along the way for Carolina, but if they defend at a high level and if they can get good shooting from the outside, then this team has a chance to cut down the nets when it's all said and done.
And I think it's important to remember the last time the NCAA tournament had a first and second weekend in the city of Charlotte, that UMBC upset over Virginia took place. The first time a 16 ever beat a 1. And if this game happens to be close, that'll be a storyline that will develop as the game moves along. So let's talk about Carolina's first-round opponent tomorrow. That is Wagner, a team that beat Howard last night in the first four to advance officially into the NCAA tournament. And look, Wagner won a very close game. It was 71-68. Howard, with a few chances, had three looks at a potential game-tying three there in the closing seconds. So, for Wagner, they've already experienced some of the madness that this tournament does create. They enter with a 17-15 record. They went 7-9 in the Northeast Conference in the regular season, finished sixth in the regular season standings. And they beat Merrimack in the Northeast Conference Championship game in a very low-scoring, very ugly affair. Because if I remember correctly, both teams didn't even score 50 in the game. Tells you how good Wagner can be defensively, but it's a great example of how limited they are offensively, as most of these mid-major programs that are on the 16 line in the NCAA tournament, they generally are. They have just two players that average double-figure scoring, led by Melvin Gordon Jr. is 14.8 points, 5.7 rebounds, 3.5 assists. He's shooting 39% from the field, 26% from three.
Melvin Council Jr., actually.
I don't know why I typed Gordon. I knew that was wrong the second.
That's the running back. That's okay. We've been there. We know so many names in sports. It's okay.
Then you got Teron Allen, 10.7 points, 5.1 rebounds, 1 assist, shoots 41% from the field, 45% from 3. As a team, they average 63.5 points per game. That's 353rd in the country. But they only give up 62.3 points per game. That's seventh in the country. So, we kind of outlined it. This is an offensively challenged team. Again, most teams from that level of college basketball are. And, you'll go look at all of their offensive metrics, KenPom, Torvik, whatever it is. They're not going to blow you away. But they get the job done defensively. That number is real because, look, they have to play you know, their fair share of quality opponents in the non-con, really to fund their program. And to only give up 62 points per game is nothing to scoff at. And, you know, we mentioned they won in the first four, just like FDU did a year ago. They've already got some momentum. They've extended their confidence after their run in their conference tournament. And they'll show up believing that anything is possible. They'll believe that, hey, last time the tournament was here, a 16 beat a one. Every team that shows up to their site on tournament day believes that their team is going to win. And this will be no different from a Wagner team that knows that they offensively don't have the firepower to keep up with the Carolina, but defensively they're well-coached enough, they're sound enough to where they can make Carolina have to earn everything they want to on the offensive end and really muck this game up and make it ugly.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's ultimately their game plan. I mean, look, they coming into last night, and they allowed 68 last night, so the number probably won't go up significantly, but they were allowing 62.1 points per game. And if you're wondering, I mean, that's sixth in the country. So, I mean, look, there's playing in a mid-major conference and that aiding you, but when you're top 10 in the country still – you're pretty damn good defensively. Like, there's just no way around it. They're 64th in field goal percentage allowed, so teams typically don't shoot great against them. But, I mean, look, this is – you said it right. This is an offensively challenged team. That's the best way to put it, because they average just 63.5 points per game, which is 354th nationally. It's why this was a team that coming into their conference tournament was – you know, well below 500. They were a couple of games below 500, had to make a run, and they did. And, you know, now they feel like a team that believes in themselves, because you look at the way that they played last night. I mean, they scored 71 points. Melvin Council Jr. was really, really good. And so that's the one guy that Carolina's got to be aware of. Look, ultimately, do I think that he's a guy that can take Carolina down by himself? I don't. I mean, good player, scores over 14.5 per game, but he shoots less than 40% from the field. He shoots 25% from three. So he's not the most efficient player. I think Carolina should be able to handle him. But you're right. When it comes to this game, the talking point is where is the motivation? Where is the motivation level coming into this game? For Carolina, I mean, look, you just lost to State in the ACC tournament final. There are people that are looking at you and thinking that this shows that you're not on the same level as UConn, Houston, Purdue. And there's plenty of people that believe you're not even on the same level as Arizona. And this is not a game that's going to prove to them that you are on that same level, but it's one that can start a run that will help you prove that. And you got to show every single game that you are ready to go, because if you come out, this team punches you in the mouth and you're stuck in a close battle, that's when you never know what's going to happen. So Carolina's got to be prepared from word go, because this is a game that they should be able to dominate. But it's, you know, as we've seen before, it's not a guarantee anymore.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think you have to be worried about this team's motivation entering the game. It's the NCAA tournament. That with this group, I haven't have to worry about them being motivated to play.
Right.
Two years ago, you had to be motivated. Like, you had to worry about, was there a motivation to want to play?
Well, let me be clear. I'm not worried. I'm just saying, if you're looking at it, like, if I'm Hubert Davis, that's what I'm telling them in the locker room. Is, guys, you know that team on the other side, they're looking at this as their best opportunity to really make a name for themselves. Because, look, I mean, their season's already made by the fact that they made the NCAA tournament. They picked up a win in Dayton. If they could find a way to pull this upset, I mean, then they're just playing with house money. For you, I mean, this is the start of something bigger. So you got to be ready to match the intensity, because they're going to come out and they're going to want to, you know, probably They'll be aggressive. They'll be trying to potentially force some turnovers, stuff like that. So that's the thing. If you're Hubert Davis, that's what you need to be telling those guys, is come out with that same intensity. Don't care that it's Wagner. You need to come out with the same intensity as if you're playing Duke.
Well, it's just, you got to play to the standard, and you didn't do that the last time. So you got to come out this time and play to the standard and play to the expectation. Looking at this game from Carolina's perspective, they enter with a 27-7 record after going 17-3 in the ACC in the regular season. They are a one seed for a record 18th time. And you got to remember, yes, the tournament is it's pretty old, but seeding didn't become a thing until 1979. So, that's just within the last 45 years or so that Carolina's been a one seed 18 times. This is the first ever matchup between the two schools. We mentioned Wagner, two guys that average double figure scoring. Carolina has four, led by RJ Davis, 21.4 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, 3.5 assists, shooting 43% from the field, 41% from three. He was named to the U.S. Basketball Writers Association First Team All-American team earlier today. Armando Bacot, 14.1 points, 10.2 rebounds. He's shooting 55% from the field. He was named to the third team USBWA All-America team for the second straight season. Harrison Ingram, 12.1 points, 8 or 9 rebounds, 2.2 assists, shooting 42% from the field, 37% from three. And Cormac Ryan, the last guy to average double figures, 11.2 points, 2.8 rebounds, 1.3 assists, shooting 38% from the field, 34% from three. And then, we've been tracking this stat all year long, but Carolina averages 41.1 rebounds per game, the eighth highest mark in the country. We mentioned that tomorrow's game will be being played in Charlotte, and Carolina's played their fair share of games in the Queen City. They are 166-27 all time in Charlotte. They are 16-2 in Spectrum Center, dating back to 2006. Of course, they've played there each of the last two seasons in the Jumpman Invitational, earning wins over Michigan and Oklahoma in that process. In the NCAA tournament in Charlotte, Carolina is 12-1 all time. That lone loss came the last time the tournament was in the Queen City in 2018, where you had UMBC's upset over Virginia, but you also had Carolina getting routed by Texas A&M in Charlotte. And in NCAA tournament games in the state of North Carolina, UNC is 34-2. They've had one loss in Charlotte and one loss in Raleigh. So, there's a lot of great history, a lot of great tradition of the NCAA tournament being played here, and there's been a lot of great success for Carolina while playing the NCAA tournament in the home state, and we're hoping to experience some more of that tomorrow afternoon. So we've set the scene for Carolina and Wagner. We've told you about the opponent, looked at the game from Carolina's perspective, gone over the rich history that Carolina has playing tournament games in the home state. But coming up next, we'll get into our discussion topic before we give our keys to the game and pick the game. But first, we got to get you a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
Welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast, hanging out on a Wednesday night. the first four is about to get underway for the second night in Dayton. And we're on the eve of Carolina's first round matchup against Wagner tomorrow afternoon in Spectrum Center. Anthony and I will actually be on hand in person. One of the perks of our job is you get to go to sporting events and get to cover them. And we'll be in Spectrum Center for all four games tomorrow, including seeing the Tar Heels play live and in person in the NCAA tournament for the first time. So, you know, we referenced, you know, the last time the tournament was here, you had the 16 over a one. You had the situation last year where you had the 16 over a one. Of course, both times that it happened, no one saw the 16 over the one upset coming. There are some times you can look at the 2-15 upsets and you can identify, you know, that 15 is going to pose a challenge. Doesn't really happen with the 16s, but as we've mentioned, two of the last five tournaments, we've seen a one seed go down. Do you think that that's going to – I guess the question is how loose should Carolina be? They're going to be playing close to home. We know just from a history and the track record perspective, there will be a lot of Heels fans that are in attendance. There will be a mini home court environment. So how loose should Carolina be when they take the court tomorrow, being the first one seed that takes the court in this year's NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean, look, they shouldn't be feeling like this is a pressure-packed situation, but at the same time, this should not be a scenario where they go in and are taking this team lightly. And that's kind of what we were talking about a little bit earlier, is you got to find that balance of, you know, not putting too much pressure on yourself to where if something does go wrong, you know, you're worried that, oh, this could be potentially where it ends. I don't think that's going to be the mindset of these guys anyways. I know that, you know, there's not a ton of NCAA tournament experience on the roster. But at the same time, I mean, there's enough here where, you know, especially with the leaders on this team, I think you will be perfectly fine. So, I mean, yeah, you should be feeling a little loose. I mean, look, you're still a one seed. Like, that's the thing. The fact that you lost to NC State shouldn't mean that, oh, everything that you did this season means nothing. I feel like in a lot of people's minds, you know, especially, I mean, in the minds of the team that won the ACC tournament title, I mean, they believe the season's over. They believe that, you know, Carolina's dead, and that means that their team is guaranteed to make a deeper run than Carolina in the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, look, this team still has everything in front of them. So I don't think you need to feel desperate or anything like that. But at the same time, I mean, this is a team that you should not feel like you can just roll the ball out against and pick up a victory. You need to come out committed and ready to go. And if you do, then the result that that ultimately should happen in this game will. And I mean, I trust that Hubert Davis, because of his experience in the NCAA tournament, which people aren't going to talk enough about, but is really, really going to be important going up against some really good coaches along the way, but guys that haven't been as far in the tournament as he has. And I think the veteran leadership on this team, guys that have been with this team and gone deep, and then, you know, guys that are motivated to go deep in the tournament for the first time in their careers, I think that combination will really work wonders for Carolina.
Yeah, look, Carolina was, you know, met with the media today, and the overarching theme from their press availability is they're happy to be back. They're thrilled to be back, because you play 5 months to play for 3 weeks. And look, it's like that in all sports where you have a very long regular season. And then, I mean, unless it's the NBA or the NHL, your postseason goes by in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's good that Carolina is just embracing this and soaking it all in, because you have to, during this event, you've got to appreciate what you've done along the way. And I think it's important to do so, because you did a lot of great things in the regular season that put you in a position to do some special things in the postseason. And so I think I think Carolina will, I think you'll forget that a lot of these dudes have never played in an NCAA tournament game by the time they tip the ball off. And I know for me as a fan, even though I'm used to having seen Carolina play later in the, their first round matchup, like usually in all my life, they've played in that 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock window. 2:45 is as early a first round matchup as I can remember them playing. I'd much rather Carolina play early, because the deeper the day goes, the longer the night goes. That's when you could really start to – you can start to feel upsets coming throughout the day, because you see these games get tighter. Teams know the scores around the country. It just ultimately adds pressure to them. Carolina will be, A, one of the first one seeds to get on the court, and, B, it'd be one of the first handful of games to be played tomorrow, because it's a 12-hour marathon. And so I know for me as a fan – like, even though I'm used to seeing them play late, I'm not complaining about us playing early, because, last year when Purdue got beat, they played in the – I think their game was a 7:20 tip. When Virginia got beat, guess what? It was a 7:26, a 6:30 or later tip. The day was building towards those upsets happening. It's very rare that you see upsets early in the window. And so I think Carolina will come out loose as a goose and be ready to have some fun and play on the biggest stage that college basketball has to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hubert may actually use that exact term right there to those guys. Just play loose as a goose and we'll have a chance. The timing, this is a window. This has become very common. They like to put teams in this window. I'm not shocked that Carolina's playing where they're at. The other thing about playing at this time is that, and you could say, well, how much does 5 extra hours of rest really matter? You're going to have a Wagner team that's going to be on less rest than if you played them later in the night. So, I don't know how much that means. It could help you out a little bit. I'm not too worried about when Carolina's playing. I think this is a team that's just – to me, they're built for more than falling to a 16 seed. Now, who knows? With the way that college basketball has been going in the last couple of years, and especially this year, I could be dead wrong. We could have 2 1 seeds that could be out. So that's, again, why it's all about the mindset that Carolina takes going into the game, because this is one that you could dispatch of early and set your sights on, because you'll know who your opponent is going into the game if you win. So I think that has to be one of the focuses for Carolina is to, establish more than anything, establish a little bit of a rhythm, because regardless of who you play, Michigan State, we've said it, we don't think they're a team that should be in the field, but Tom Izzo is a guy that's been there, done that many times before in March, and Mississippi State's a team that, we feel – it matches up pretty well with Carolina. So either way, you'd like to see Carolina build a rhythm and really get rolling at least this weekend in Charlotte so that they can try to get out of here and get into that Sweet 16 weekend.
All right, let's get into our keys to the game for tomorrow. And Greg Ward, we appreciate you being with us once again tonight. He commented where he said, run, run, run. They only have 7 players. Yeah, my first key to the game is control and dictate tempo. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, Wagner is a little shorthanded. 7 is, it's hard to win games in the tournament playing 7 dudes. It's especially hard to be a mid-major opponent going up against, the best program in the country and trying to win with 7 players. And, we talked about that so much going in the state game, where I thought Carolina should have pressed, they should have sped the game up and really got it into an up-and-down game. Didn't do that. And they allowed State to get comfortable. They allowed State to, you know, basically, you know, run off adrenaline all night, and they never really once wore them down. This should be a game tomorrow where Carolina presses frequent, they press often, and they get a team that's not built to play fast to play fast in an effort to run them out of the building, and in a lot of ways get them as much rest as possible, because you might need your starters to play 35 plus minutes, you know, in less than 48 hours on Saturday, depending on what time you play again, or actually less than 36 hours. And so, I look at that as a thing where, I mean, from the word go, I think Carolina has consistently ran off of misses this year. They haven't consistently ran off of makes. There are some times where they'll walk the ball up and kind of play. Man, this should be a game tomorrow where it's just go, 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 go. Try to get as many possessions as possible, because the data would prove to you that Wagner does not have enough to keep up with you. And The more possessions for the more talented team generally lends to them coming away victorious. So this should be a game that from the opening tip, Carolina should look and try to do their best to make it an open floor ball game.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the thing is that ultimately they want to control the tempo in this game. Wagner does, because they play at an incredibly slow pace. I mean, opponents are taking less than 54 shots per game against them, which is 28th in the country. And that's the name of the game for them. They do a good job of limiting possessions, and they don't turn the ball over a lot. They only average 9.9 turnovers per game. So I think for Carolina, if you crank the tempo up, that's really going to put them in a tough spot to be able to keep up with you. One, because of the stamina after having played on Tuesday night, and you mentioned how thin they are. And two, because they just don't have the players that I think can thrive in that type of game. The other thing is talking about how thin they are, they legitimately only have 7 guys that are on the roster, I think, that are actually available to play in the game, just from looking at it. And I don't know if it's because of injury or what, but if you are that thin, the easiest thing for Carolina to do to make this game even tougher on Wagner is to drive the basket, be aggressive, and get guys in foul trouble. If they do that, and you're down to legitimately just 5 guys that can play in the game, then, I mean, Carolina is going to have a chance to really take it to this team. So I think that's the thing. Dictate the tempo and control the game the way that you want to. But at the same time, go after them inside. That's when you've been your best this season, is when you've attacked the rim. But especially against a team that, if they get into foul trouble, they're going to be in it real deep.
The second key to the game is take away Melvin Council Jr. He's their leading scorer, nearly 15 points per game, but not very efficient. You know, shoots under 40% from the field, under 30% from three. They only have one other guy that averaged double-figure scoring. And they've got a couple dudes that average roughly a little over 9 points per game, so they're close to being double-digit scorers. But if you happen to watch any of their game last night against Howard, scoring the ball does not come easy for them. Like, they made score 71 look painful. It was hard to watch them play offensively. And so with that being said, if you take away their best player, simply put, their other guys are not good enough to beat you. And if their other guys beat you, I think you live with that. You can't live with their best player having the game of his life and having his moment, like you see whenever these upsets tend to happen. And so, this has to be a situation where Carolina has a good scouting report, but more importantly, you're bought in and you're just competing on that end of the floor, something you didn't do a week ago against a DJ Horn or a DJ Burns, two guys that were the two best players on the floor for either team in that ACC tournament final. You let them get to their spot. You let them get to where they want to get to on the court, and they were able to make plays. and you know, now in a single elimination tournament, you don't get to come back on Saturday if you lose tomorrow. You don't get to bounce back if you have a poor defensive effort. So Carolina's gotta limit his impact and make the other guys around them try to beat you, because I think the numbers and the analytics would tell you that's simply not the case.
Well, I mean, look, they're coming off of a pretty good shooting night, but that's probably one of their best shooting nights of the whole year, where they shot 52% from the field. And look, they have to shoot that well, because last night, I mean, they were out-rebounded by Howard, and they only had 3 offensive rebounds. So if they don't shoot the ball well, they're not going to be getting to the offensive glass. But, I mean, you're talking about, you know, probably the best shooting nights of the entire season for guys like Julian Brown, Javier Izquierda. Like, those are guys that, you know, they're going to play because they have to, but these are guys that have not thrived this year from the field. Most of the guys on their roster are shooting less than 35% from the field. The guards are, and the big men, I mean, look, you know, you got Keyonte Lewis, who's had a pretty solid season in terms of efficiency, but he doesn't shoot the ball a whole lot. And then the only other guy that's a big for them that shoots the ball really at all is Sex Zongo off the bench, and he only played 6 minutes the other night. And he, again, he doesn't put up a lot of shots. So as long as you slow down the other guards around him, I think you'll be fine. But yeah, with Council, I mean, the biggest thing is just don't let him take over the game like we've seen guys do at certain times this year. I mean, if you hold him to 10 of 18, you know, like Howard did, I mean, yeah, he scored 21 points in the game and looked really good at times. But the thing is it's still a relatively inefficient night. I think Carolina could live with that, especially if the other guys, they're able to take them away and keep them around where they've been at for the majority of the season.
The last key to the game for me is a look-ahead key into the second round, but it also goes in hand with winning this game. Carolina's got to get their role players back in rhythm offensively. Mm-hmm. We saw how much and look, Cormac Ryan isn't a role player, but we saw how bad he was against NC State a week ago. We saw how bad Harrison Ingram was a week ago. You know, Carolina's bench only scored 6 points. You need to get the guys that complement Armando and RJ. They need to get back their confidence and just see the ball go in the basket and feel and be in a good rhythm going into your second round matchup. I still want them to be aggressive. I want Cormac Ryan to hunt his offense. I think Harrison Ingram's best offense is followed by him getting to the offensive glass and really doing damage in that mid-range game. And then for the other guys, look, there's not a reason that Elliot Cadeau can't take whoever's guarding him off the bounce and get to the cup whenever he wants to. Want to see Seth Trimble get that mid-range game going. Jalen Washington be, you know, establishing a presence on the inside. All those things are gonna need to emerge this weekend for Carolina to get to the second weekend. And look, you go back to the loss to State, there were a lot of clean looks for Cormac, Ingram, whoever to make. And if Carolina makes those shots, it's a different ballgame. And so I think it's imperative that those guys find and create their own offense, because they're going to need to be playmakers tomorrow. And if Carolina advances to Saturday, if they want to find themselves dancing into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, it's probably the thing that you worried about the most from what we saw in the ACC tournament. Because I think the compete level is really the difference defensively, and I think it'll be there. You could see it being there for 6 games, because these guys know they've done it too often this year to not. The thing is will they be able to score around those guys? Because that's something that, as hard as they try to control, they probably have tried to control it a little bit too much, and that's why they've struggled at times this year. I mean, I really am hopeful that Cormac can find it again, because I thought at the end of the regular season he had hit his rhythm and we were ready to go. It took him some time, but this was the Cormac Ryan that you brought in here. And those last two games in the ACC tournament were scary because that looked like early season Cormac where there was just nothing falling. Got clean looks, but they weren't going down. Harrison Ingram, he's got to be more involved offensively. And the other thing with Ingram, too, this isn't really scoring-wise, but you also need him to get back into a rhythm rebounding. I mean, that performance the other day against NC State was stunning. I did not see that coming because you could say, well, you know, he was going up against Diarra. There were times where State was playing two bigs. He's a smaller guy. That hasn't mattered most of the year. He still rebounded at a high level in those games, but for some reason, it just wasn't there the other night. And it wasn't that they were pulling him away from the basket. I mean, don't get it wrong. Diarra had moments where he was able to do that. But still, that's something you need to see from Ingram. Those are the two guys that are most important. Elliot Cadeau, I think the biggest thing is just getting his mind right. He's not going to score the ball at a consistent level for you. Could there be some games, especially a game like this one, where he's able to attack the rim and get some easy finishes? That's where you need him to score for you, is if he can get downhill to the basket and get clean looks at the rim, then he needs to be able to finish those, because he didn't do a great job of that when you were in Washington. He missed a lot of layups that you got to have if you're going to be able to win the national championship. And so, yeah, it's about getting those guys into rhythm. It's about, you know, getting Seth Trimble to shake off that game that he had against State, because before that, he was outstanding for the previous three games. If you can do all of that, I think you've got a chance. And that's the thing, is this is the perfect type of game for you to be able to set yourself up, because if you get these guys confident, we've seen it. When the confidence is there, when the swagger is there, nobody in the country is better than this team.
All right, we'll move into our picks. Carolina enters with a 98.9% chance to win the game, according to ESPN's matchup predictor. And according to ESPN Bet, Carolina is a 24.5-point favorite. The line opened up at 23.5. It's now up to 24.5. Who wins the game and why?
Well, I think Carolina wins the game. I'm going to stay away from the over-under. I think, you know, I have been horrible with that. I was horrible with that at the ACC tournament. So I'm just going to stay away from that. But I do think Carolina wins, and I think it'll be relatively comfortable. I think this team's going to come out motivated, and I think we'll learn pretty quickly. I mean, if they come out and dominate this game, then we will sit back and say the best thing that happened to this team was that ACC tournament final. And to me, I think that is the mindset that this team is going to take, that, you know, they lost, especially because they lost to NC State, a team that we know most of these guys hate. They're going to be motivated to say, look, we didn't win the ACC tournament title, one that we really wanted, and it got taken by a rival. Well, that's fine. We'll go out and win the national title. I think the run starts here, and I think they beat Wagner.
I'm with you. I think you see, look, this team has responded after losses all season long. Only lost back-to-back games once, and that's when they lost to UConn and they lost to Kentucky, two teams they could very well see if they get to Phoenix. And I think the loss last week hurt on a personal level because – you know, Armando and RJ are the two players that I can ever remember outwardly talking about wanting to win an ACC tournament, because in the majority of my life, we didn't value it. So our players never outwardly talked about its importance. With that, they've openly talked about getting back to a Final Four and winning a national championship. I had a chance to talk with Armando at ACC tip-off back in October. He said, I came back to win a national championship, and that's the goal. And to do that, you've got to go on a 6-game winning streak. And this is the first game. Wagner's been a good story. It was fun watching their conference tournament run. It was cool seeing them get a win last night in the first four. But Cinderella doesn't have a glass slipper, and she's not wearing it to the ball tomorrow. I think Carolina rolls. I think Carolina, I think they blow Wagner out. I think whenever you're going back for seconds at the media room to get your bowl of popcorn, this thing is going to be out of hand. And so I think all the talk around how Carolina is going to be the first one seed to go down, how this is the weakest region, almost trying to devalue whoever emerges out of this region in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I think Carolina's going to take that personal. And we know Hubert Davis wants a group that's looking for a fight. I think Carolina shows up tomorrow, and I think they knock Wagner out like Rocky Balboa did so many times in that legendary movie series. And I think Carolina gets their first of hopefully six straight wins in the NCAA tournament. Well, that's going to wrap up, guys, this edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Before we let you go, we do encourage you to visit the website, HeelToughBlog.com. We want you to make that your home for the NCAA tournament. The preview of the game will be posted tomorrow morning. Recap of the game will be posted tomorrow afternoon. Anthony did a lot of homework, crunching some numbers on the West region. We previewed the West region and broke it down last night. We're going to have information about every team in the region on the website as well. As we want you to make us your home for the NCAA tournament. Some news have come out of spring camp. We'll do our best to keep you updated with that as well. But with this being at Spectrum Center tomorrow, and we're going to be there roughly 14 hours, the focus will be on Carolina and the NCAA tournament. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast and we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the remainder of the season. Just a scheduling note. We will not be able to record tomorrow with our work requirements. We'll be back Friday morning recapping the Wagner game. And then we'll be back with you Friday evening, assuming Carolina wins and advances. We'll be back Friday evening previewing their second round matchup. Make sure you just hit that subscribe button. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the remainder of the basketball season. Well, with that, guys, that is going to wrap up this edition of the show. I do want to thank Anthony once again for hosting with me. We want to thank you for watching and listening. And as always, go Tar Heels!